This month, our stratified medicine program starts recruiting patients, researchers target a key cancer protein, we launch 9 high-tech gene projects, more lung cancer patients need surgery to survive, the biggest report to date on lifestyle and cancer, and we celebrate the bravery of our little stars. Welcome to the Cancer Research UK podcast. I'm Paul Thorne. Cancer Research UK has started recruiting patients for a pioneering initiative to demonstrate how genetic tests could be used within the NHS to help match cancer patients to the most appropriate treatment. The project also aims to build a database of information for research into new targeted therapies. James Peach, Director of Cancer Research UK's Stratified Medicine Program, tells us what impact this work could have on cancer treatment in the future.
Many of the next generation of cancer treatments will only work in people whose cancer is driven by a specific gene or protein. We need ways to routinely identify or stratify patients as part of their treatment. Cancer Research UK's Stratified Medicine Programme aims to help the NHS prepare for this exciting new way of treating cancer and provide researchers with intelligence about how these treatments work.
Researchers in the US have taken the first steps towards designing a drug to target one of the most important proteins in cancer. Scientists at the company Genentech have created small molecule fragments that can stick to a protein called RAS, which is faulty in about a quarter of all cancers. Our science information manager, Dr. Kat Arney, tells us why targeting this protein is a big step in treating cancer.
Researchers have been trying to develop drugs that can target RAS for many years and come up with nothing. So this new approach is a small but important step on the way there, as the scientists have developed a molecule that can stick to one particular part of the RAS protein. But unfortunately, this isn't the really important bit that's involved in cancer. So there needs to be a lot more work done to develop this further into something that might have the potential as a drug. But as far as scientific discoveries go, this is a pretty exciting step forward.
A new initiative from Cancer Research UK aims to unravel the genetic secrets behind a range of cancers in order to understand how certain genes control cancer and determine how the disease evades treatment. The genomics initiative will use the latest high-tech gene sequencing machines to address specific research questions that were until now impossible to answer. The latest sequencing technology allows researchers to scan all of the genes in the cancer, like reading an instruction manual for the disease, and identify cancer-causing faults 1 million times faster than the technology used a decade ago. Dr. Charles Swanton tells us how doctors and scientists can use information about faulty genes to change how we diagnose and treat cancer.
The genomics initiative is run by Cancer Research UK and funded by Cancer Research UK to try to tease apart the complexity of cancer across a wide range of cancer types. It's become clear over the last 5 years that there is tremendous diversity both within individual tumours and between patients with the same tumour subtype. And so this initiative, this very important initiative from Cancer Research UK, will help scientists begin to tease apart those complexities in much greater detail to try to ultimately identify new means of treating cancer and identify new therapeutic targets suitable for drug discovery and drug development programmes.
Many more lung cancer patients would survive for longer if they had surgery to remove the disease, according to new research from the National Cancer Intelligence Network and King's College London. Researchers analysed information on more than 77,000 lung cancer patients diagnosed between 2004 and 2006 in England and looked at how many had surgery to treat the disease. They found that in those areas where more lung cancer surgery took place, more people survived the disease. Dr. Leslie Walker describes how many lives could be extended if the levels of surgery across the country were higher.
The most important thing for patients with the most common type of lung cancer is that we offer surgery if that's possible, because this is really the only chance of curing somebody of that type of lung cancer. What we know is that the rates of surgery offered to people with that type of lung cancer do vary quite a lot around the country. And what we know is that if we were to be able to offer the same amount of surgery in every area as in the best areas in the country, that potentially something of the order of 5,400 people's lives could be significantly extended. What we also know is that the rates of surgery in the UK are hovering around about the 14% mark for people with the most common type of lung cancer. That's better than it was, but it's certainly well below the percentages of people who get surgery for lung cancer in other countries in Europe and in the United States.
More than 100,000 cancers, equivalent to one-third of all those diagnosed in the UK each year, are being caused by smoking, unhealthy diets, alcohol and excess body weight, according to the latest analysis by Cancer Research UK scientists. This new review of cancer and lifestyle in the UK is the most comprehensive undertaken to date. Smoking is far and away the most important lifestyle factor, causing nearly a quarter of all cancers in men and nearly one in six cancers in women. Overall, the review shows that 45% of cancers in men and 40% of cancers in women could be prevented. Lead researcher Dr. Max Parkin from the Queen Mary University of London describes some of the key findings from the study.
From a community point of view, if you're a policymaker or a cancer charity, what are the priorities? What are the most important preventable things out there that we should be trying to do something about? It's not particularly relevant to you as an individual. How are you going to reduce your own personal risk depends on what you're doing. For example, I've just shown you that if nobody in the UK smoked, there'd be 20% fewer cancers. But if you as an individual, if you're a smoker and you stop, it's not 20% less. You halve your risk of dying from cancer. So of course you have to, if you're you as a person, or how you're counselling individuals as a doctor, you have to take into account their personal lifestyle. Are they a smoker or not, the most important thing. What these figures in this book are telling us is for the UK, for the community as a whole, how does it pan out? What are the factors that are important and how do they rank?
Sarah Hyam, Director of Health Information at Cancer Research UK, tells us about the lifestyle changes we can all make to reduce our risk of cancer.
Whilst there may be some surprises in the detail of the study, for example, the role that perhaps fruit and vegetables might play, I think we've been quite surprised by some of those figures, by the fact that tobacco plays a greater role in liver cancer prevention than does alcohol. There have been some surprises in that, and I think that's what's really interesting when you look into the detail of the study. But overall, the key message for me, as someone who has to think about the information that we put out as a charity to the public, is the fact that over 100,000 cases of cancer are potentially preventable by four major lifestyle changes. Tobacco, by far and away the most important, and if no one smoked, 60,000 fewer cases. Now, it's quite clear that from an individual perspective, there are choices that we can make about our lifestyle that will make a significant difference to our own health and well-being. And I think that's another important point to make here, that a lot of the lifestyle factors that we're discussing here will have impact on our general health and will reduce the risk of a whole host of other diseases as well.
Improvements in survival from childhood cancer are one of the big success stories in recent years, and Cancer Research UK's work has been at the heart of that success. New statistics show that at least 5,600 children have survived the disease for at least 5 years than would have done if survival rates had remained as they were in the early 1970s. For example, the new analysis shows that in the early 1970s, only around a third of children with leukaemia, the most common childhood cancer, lived 5 years or more. Today, the chances of surviving are more than 80%. But despite these successes, going through a cancer journey is still a tough time for kids and their families. So every year, Cancer Research UK's Little Stars Awards recognise the bravery of children with cancer. Our science information manager, Dr. Kat Arney, spoke to one family that had been affected by childhood cancer to find out what they'd been through and what a difference the Little Star Award made.
I'm Lorna Morgan. I'm mother to Georgia, 10, and Jamie, 7. Georgia had a blood test in March 2007. Her red blood count was so low she needed an emergency blood transfusion. She was taken to Adam Brooks where we were told it was leukaemia, and within an hour she started chemotherapy.
Tell me a little bit about Georgia's treatment. What sort of things happened to her?
Georgia was on various types of chemotherapy through a Hickman 9 into her heart. She had steroids as well, which they clashed, the two drugs, and caused a stroke 3 weeks into her treatment.
That sounds like an awful lot for a little girl to go through. So what difference did it make receiving a Little Star Award from Cancer Research UK?
For Georgia, age 6, she had no fear for the future. you could have told us she had hay fever. For us, obviously, we knew the seriousness, the fear for the future. Georgia's teacher found out about the Little Star Awards and nominated her. I was immensely proud. She has smiled through 2 years of chemotherapy, just smiled and laughed her way through everything.
And so would you encourage other families whose children may be affected by cancer to put them forward for a Cancer Research UK Little Star?
Absolutely. And the nice thing is every child nominated will receive an award, particularly for my family. Little Jamie, who was 3 at the time, whose sister had just been disappearing for sort of weeks on end, along with his mum, he was awarded a Little Star Award too.
And how's Georgia doing now? It's obviously a few years later.
Georgia is 2.5 years free of cancer, which is absolutely fabulous. Her life is back to normal. She's back at school, attending secondary school next year, and life is just normal.
What would be your advice to any mums and dads listening?
All mums and dads, doctors and nurses, any children that you know of that are going through treatment now or have been through treatment, do nominate them for an award because it will make all the difference to them. It will really brighten their day.
So that's mum's perspective. But what about Georgia? I asked her how she felt spending so much time in hospital during her treatment.
Well, when I was in hospital, I knew because if I was in school at that time, I would feel unsure and because I wouldn't, and I would be like the only one like that. But when I was at hospital, I know that I wasn't alone and there was lots of other people with cancer and no hair. But losing my hair, I think, was the biggest thing because I was a girl.
And what other things happened? Anything else you particularly remember about that time?
Before I was going back to school, like this nurse came to my school and told them in big assembly what had happened to me and that I had no hair, because some people might tease me, but then they didn't.
How did you feel when you got your Little Star Award?
I felt proud that I beat cancer, and it is possible to do.
Do you think it would be a good idea for other children with cancer to be put forward for these Little Star Awards?
I do, because when you have cancer, you sort of feel really... I know how you feel, because I felt, like, unsure. But when I got my Little Star Award, I felt I made myself feel really proud.
To find out more about the Little Star Awards themselves, I spoke to Martin McGlown, head of Cancer Research UK's regional press team.
The Little Star Awards, now in their 9th year, are an amazing celebration of the courage of all children who are diagnosed with cancer. They're quite unique in that every single child who's nominated for an award gets the accolade. So there are no winners and losers, there are only winners. Because Cancer Research UK believes passionately that every child who's diagnosed with cancer is deserving of recognition.
So how do the Little Star Awards actually work? How does a child get nominated for an award?
The awards, which are sponsored by TK Maxx, our partners, work by encouraging people from across the community. If they know of a child who's under 18 who's been diagnosed with cancer in the last 5 years, to put them forward for a Little Star Award. And the recipients get a certificate signed by a host of celebrities, including England footballer Steven Gerrard, pop sensation Leona Lewis, and a host of others. They also get a very special chrome star trophy and some other goodies. So, you know, it's a fantastic celebration of these children and also their families, because as well as recognising the children themselves, we do award any siblings in the family a certificate. And that's just to recognise the important role that they play in supporting their brother or sister through a cancer diagnosis.
If anyone's listening to this and thinking, I know a little star, I know a child who's been through cancer, how can they nominate them?
It's very simple. We'd love them to log on to www.cancerresearchuk.org/little star. And there's a nomination form there. They can fill in the child's details, and that comes straight through to us, and we'll make direct contact with the family. So it's very simple. And we really, really would urge people across the community to think, if there's a child who deserves that recognition, to put them forward.
That was Martin McGlown talking to Dr. Kat Arney. If you know a little star, you can nominate them now at cancerresearchuk.org/little star. We'll be back next month with all the latest news and features. In the meantime, you can keep up to date by checking our Science Update blog. That's scienceblog.cancerresearchuk.org. And from all of us at Cancer Research UK, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.